I feel the need. I feel the need to give away some cash. Okay. Ease up on the meds, Paul. This hour's national contest keyword for cash is Mars. That's right. One more time. Mars. M-A-R-S. Elon Musk wants to go to Mars. Text that keyword to 72881 for your chance to win a cool $1,000. We need to get a Minnesota winner, maybe a Wisconsin winner, a South Dakota winner, please. The number to text is 72881, and the keyword this hour is Mars. And if you don't win this time, don't give up. Listen for your next chance to win tomorrow at 8:12 with Dave Lee. Messaging and data rates may apply. Remember, please don't text and drive. Or blow dry your hair and drive. Never going to do that again. You may have seen this. Donald Trump and former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson disagreed on global trade. They disagreed on climate change. They disagreed on NATO. They disagreed on the nuclear deal with Iran. They disagreed on talks with North Korea and even Qatar's impasse with its neighbors. And, of course, you may have heard this, reportedly Secretary of State Tillerson referred to his boss as a moron. So the question is not so much shock over a new Secretary of State who happens to be Mike Pompeo. He's the former CIA director. I think the question a lot of people have is, why did it take so long? With us to provide some perspective, some insight, some context, stuff you can't get from an app, is Daniel Lipman. He is a co-author of Political Playbook. I know it's something I read every day. Great insight there. And, Daniel, great to have you on the show.
Thank you. Live from Austin at South by Southwest.
Best music in the world at Austin, right?
Yes. No sign of any Trump officials here, or that many. There's a couple, actually.
Ah, all right. Well, give us your take. I'm just curious on your perspective. Why should people care about who the Secretary of State is? I have an answer in my mind, but I'm just curious. What is your answer to why this matters? It seems like Mike Pompeo, more of the America First kind of ethos.
Yeah, you know, I think people should care because this is the most important diplomatic job in the government. And if we want to avoid, say, war with North Korea, we have to have someone at the top that has the president's trust and is good at his job and has a good relationship with his workforce, all of the foreign service officers that work every day to do their best to be our representatives around the world. And you can't do that with someone like Rex Tillerson, who even though there were high hopes at the beginning that this guy would bring management experience since he was a successful CEO of ExxonMobil, he really turned out to be the worst Secretary of State in modern American history because he was basically gutting the department, and he didn't accomplish that much in terms of diplomatic victory.
And yet, as somebody pointed out to me today, who would have thought that you could elicit any level of sympathy for a multimillionaire former CEO of ExxonMobil? A lot of people feel that not all, but some people feel that Rex Tillerson was mistreated and that he never had the full backing of the president. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that's how Trump treats a lot of his cabinet members. The VA Secretary David Shulkin, the AP was reported how Trump might replace him with Rick Perry, who's at Energy. And I think that Trump felt like Rex was embarrassing him by, even if Trump had given Tillerson the mandate to slim down the State Department, Rex Tillerson went about it the wrong way in terms of alienating the staff. You can't do that to inspire loyalty. And so a lot of these career Foreign Service officers were retiring. And I think there was a lot of relief at the State Department that this era of Tillerson at the top, that's gone. Even though they are not the biggest fans of Pompeo, since they view him as pretty militaristic, they think that he at least will do a much better job than Tillerson, hopefully.
Now, the perception, Daniel, is that Tillerson was something of a moderating influence within the administration. And now that Tillerson is gone, any restraint there with a whole America First approach to governing may be lost, that Pompeo may, you know, be more in alignment with the president when it comes to America First and less need for any attempted moderation.
Yeah, Pompeo is a severe critic of the Iran nuclear deal. He is pretty anti-negotiations with North Korea, even though Trump is about to meet with Kim Jong-un in the next couple months. And so there are still people who are voices of moderation in the government, like Defense Secretary Jim Mattis, who is not an American First person as much. He is in a pretty... He shoots straight, and he is a voice of calm and reason in the administration. Lots of Democrats like him. But definitely Pompeo, who was first in his class at West Point, he's a military guy, and he is pretty hard right. This is a guy that was supported by tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands, by the Koch brothers. He's from Wichita, Kansas.
I think he's received more Koch money than any other congressman, to my knowledge. That's interesting. Did he really, again, bad form to text your significant other a breakup. Did he really learn about this in a tweet this morning?
Yeah, I think he saw it on a tweet and also watching television when he was flying back from Africa, which is pretty tough. It's not, it's just very rude on Trump's part to do that, and the reason, how the State Department responded was saying Tillerson wanted to stay, that this was basically a firing, and so but Tillerson did get a heads up by Chief of Staff John Kelly on Friday, saying that he may not have very long time left, and that he could expect a tweet. Or, he shouldn't be surprised if a tweet came and cut off his head. Remember, Reince Priebus was on an airport tarmac when Trump tweeted that he was getting fired, and then he was getting replaced by General Kelly. And so this is just what happened. See, Trump is not the biggest fan of firing people face-to-face, even though he was famous for being the guy who said, "You're fired," at The Apprentice. Turns out that that's totally inaccurate to the way he is now.
Right, and now we have a new director of the CIA. We have a woman in that role?
Yep.
For the first time, right? Gina Haspel.
Gina Haspel. She is the current deputy director of the CIA. I was talking to some Obama people, a guy named George Lowell, who was the Obama CIA and Pentagon spokesman. He only had good words to say for the new pick. But she's going to face some tough questions about what she thinks of how the CIA should respond to Russian interference in our elections. That's something that Congress and the Senate, and it's a Senate confirmable position, they'll ask her. They'll want to make sure that she stands up for the U.S. and is not afraid of Russia like Trump appears to be. And I don't think, she's probably not a fan of Trump visiting the agency anytime soon, because remember when Trump visited the CIA that first weekend, he was talking about politics and the campaign in front of the wall, denoting all of the fallen CIA officers. That's very poor form.
Right. Okay, the drama, the turnover continues, and we'll see how this unfolds, but we sure appreciate your perspective. Daniel Lipman, co-author, Politico Playbook, thanks for weighing in, and have fun down in Austin.
Thank you, sir.
It's hard not to have fun in Austin, especially the South by Southwest. This music festival is, I've never been there, but it's supposed to be pretty amazing. So how cool is that? All right, we'll be back with more. You're tuned to CCO. A little bit of Justin Lynch makes the commute a little less painful. Did you see that, and I think we all suspected this, fake news travels farther and faster than the truth. An analysis of more than 4.5 million tweets and retweets between 2006 and 2017 reveals that, big surprise, inaccurate news stories spread much faster and further than true stories. The researchers found that it was humans, not automated accounts or bots, that are primarily to blame for spreading fake news on Twitter. What we found was scary, said one expert. False news travels farther, faster, deeper, more broadly than the truth in every category of information. By an order of magnitude, truthful tweets took 6 times longer than fake ones to spread across Twitter to 1,500 people, in large part because falsehoods, fake news in the sample, were 70% more likely to be retweeted than the truth, even after accounting for age, activity level, and number of followers. The most viral fake posts were political in nature. I am shocked by that news. That's me, my mouth open. I'm shocked. Elon Musk, SpaceX is going to be doing short trips to Mars next year. Elon Musk told a group earlier this week at South by Southwest in Austin that SpaceX could be embarking on its first mission to Mars as early as next year. We are building the first Mars or interplanetary ship. I think we'll be able to do short trips, flights, by the first half of next year. And then he said, oh, you know, sometimes I'm a little overly optimistic when it comes to timelines. But he said, look, Mars is going to need everything from iron foundries to pizza joints. He spent much of the morning in Austin warning about the existential threats facing humanity. There's likely to be another Dark Ages, he said, especially if there's a third world war. No kidding. He also added how human settlements on other planets could basically serve as insurance if and when catastrophe strikes here on Earth. Musk still